This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Let's open in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I need you. Lord, I don't want any of this to be me. Lord God, let your voice be heard today and nothing of me. And Lord, I pray for those listening and those hearing. Lord, your word, you promise your word will bring life. Lord, I pray there is life shared here today in Jesus' name. Amen. I look around and I see some young people still here. So I'm telling you, mums, you will be held accountable after today. I remember having to take our children to a Focus on the Family video series at one stage. And they kept me accountable. Mom, remember, you're supposed to talk like that. Mom, remember, you're supposed to say it this way. I'm just warning you. I truly pray that much that I share today can apply to all. And you dads and everyone that has influence over any children. But today we specifically celebrate mums. Every mum. If I had to give a title to this, it would be, Mums, you and God have got this. I thought I'd start out with a quiz and a bit of participation. Have a bit of fun to begin with. And we're going to remember some very famous mums. Just call it out if you know the answer. This is very current news. Very topical. Almost. Go down that line. What royal monarch's firstborn has given her two grandchildren and four great-grandchildren, the last one born on Monday? Queen Elizabeth, I was after. But you're right. Yeah. Okay, not their actual mother, who adopted a captain's seven children and fled with them from Austria during the Second World War. You're in full form, full form. Who is the grandmother of Grace, Katie, Jackson, Cooper, and Quinn? All famous mothers, right? So you're famous. They all knew everything. While not technically a mother, this woman was known as a mother of thousands while working as a missionary in India. Mother Teresa, very good. Let's go to some Bible mums. Which mother in the Bible had her first and only child at the age of 90? Who was the mother of Abel, Cain, and Seth? This mother was visited by the angel Gabriel. Quick. What, I'm after two answers here. What mother and mother's mother were once complimented by Paul the Apostle for having an unshakable faith and for passing that same faith on to Timothy? Yes, Pastor. Give me a name. Anybody? Eunice. That's right. Do you remember Granny's name? Lois. Now, this one's very obtuse. It was the very first question that came in my mind as I was thinking of this. And I thought, really? But I'm really interested to see if anyone knows this song, this person. I'd walk a million miles for one of your smiles, my mammy. Who was the jazz singer-performer who first recorded the song Mammy in 1921? Very good. I didn't think anyone would know that. Some of you are as old as me. Thank you for participating. Mums are created specifically. We were made for the job that no man could do, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We've been created with a womb. Men can't boast of that. We have wider hips for childbearing, and it's really good to hook the kid on there when you're walking around. We do it better than men. We also have an ability to harp, harp, nag, nag, harp, harp. We have to be careful we don't use this on our husbands. Hear, hear, say the husbands. But it does have a good use of reinforcing good habits in our children. Have you washed your hands? Have you washed your hands? Did you brush your teeth? Make your bed. Comb your hair. You didn't comb your hair. Hang up your clothes. Say thank you. Do your homework. Sit up straight. Enunciate. Eat your vegetables. Did you read your Bible and pray today? How many times can we count to three and not really get tired of it? Or lick our finger and wipe the face of our toddler. I said toddler, if you're still doing it to your 16 or 30-year-old, stop it. Stop it, Iris. In my travels, I have recognized one universal tone, no matter what language, no matter what country I'm in, and it's always directed to the female parent. Mom, you have this God-given ability that no matter the circumstances, they always see the best version of whatever their children can be. This is a little glimpse of heaven, always seeing the best in their children, just like our Heavenly Father does. Allow the good things about moms to shine through you, the kindness, the caring, the compassion, the qualities that God gave moms when He created us. I believe that God has a special place in His heart for moms. Rather than just drop the Son of God onto planet Earth via parachute or a divine white horse, He brought Him into this world through the womb of a mother. And that's one thing we have in common with Jesus. I had a wonderful mom. I have wonderful memories. The one that stands out the most, I suppose, is every time I came home from school, Mom would be creating wonderful aromas from the kitchen, always in the kitchen, and always singing. I can remember one time as a young girl, I was asked to recite a poem at a mother-daughter banquet that was at our church. I had recited it, I knew it back and forth, but I stood up there and my mind went blank. And Mom got up and stood beside me, and as she took her place, that poem came back and I was able to finish it. And it just shows the support and the encouragement and the strength that my mom gave me. I also had my grizzles. My mom was a good nag. And she did bug me sometimes. She wasn't perfect. But every time I was with a friend and wanted to grizzle about her, God was so good. He put a friend with me that said, "Nah, your mom's cool. You've got a great mom." And it just reminded me how blessed I was to have a mom like her. My mom's special to me and also a huge influence. She shaped me. I can attest a mom's role is paramount. Moms, you are an amazing influence in the lives of your children, whether they are adult or they're still at home. You are anointed to create an environment in your home. Proverbs 31:29, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. You clothe, you feed, you protect, you comfort, you guide, you discipline. But more than anything, a mother loves. We can see the beauty of God through the beauty of a mother. It's easy for moms to miss the real effect that they have in the world. However, when they protect, they are displaying a God who protects. When they comfort, moms display a God who comforts. And as they love, listen, and carry, hold counsel, play, work, dance, and teach, as they do these things, moms do so much more than they realize. They are showing the world a portrait of God. Young moms, try not to get caught up in your busyness, and there's no doubt you are extremely busy. You are allowed and supposed to enjoy your family. You don't have to just survive it. Be assured, God is with you and sees your heart and your busyness and wants to support you.
Are there any mothers out there who feel overwhelmed with life? I know you sometimes beat yourselves up. for not being the mum you want to be. I saw the way you were looking at yourself today, questioning your actions, feeling defeated. I saw the piles of laundry that need folding, the floors that need mopping, and the counters that need clearing. I saw the remnants of breakfast all over the kitchen and the floor. And I saw your children feeding themselves biscuits. I saw you raise your voice at them. And I saw their spirit break. I saw every last mess, and it's overwhelming. But there's something you need to know. I am very proud of you right now, even more than when your kids are bathed, wearing clean clothes and behaving well, or when your house and car are painstakingly tidy. Because I know that when life is rough, that's when you're working your hardest. I know that what feels like a sea of clutter in your home actually represents busy little hands that are exploring the world in a safe learning environment that you provide for them. I know that raising your voice is a big deal to you, but you apologize, seek forgiveness, and return to modeling Christ's love all day long. As for the laundry, I know that, well, sometimes there are just more important things that need to be done. You need to know something. Although the life of a mum is messy, you make it beautiful.
Mums, you and God have got this. Why am I giving this message? Well, I wondered myself. So I went and I thought God about it. He gave me a reason that I was pretty confident with. I found Titus 2:3-4. Even though I don't feel qualified in much, I do know that I qualify for this. Older women. That's me. I'm qualified. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to train their children. I'm not here to admonish, but to share some lessons and hopefully some constructive advice that I've learned over the years. Young women, love your husbands and train your children. I tried to do the opposite for so long. I loved my children and tried to train my husband. It doesn't work out well. A bit of wisdom. Train your children. Don't serve them. So I'm speaking as someone who has been through it, but not as someone who didn't make any mistakes along the way. I have made a list of 7 important lessons that I've learned, and some I would touch on, and some I would like to expand. From Proverbs 14:1, paraphrased, it says, "Wise women build their house." Build a hedge around your family based on godly wisdom and principles. You put hedges around things you want to protect. You have to be very deliberate, consistent, and of course, husbands are to be a part of the building process too. These hedges are to be built of godly perimeters, godly boundaries, safeguards, decisions, guidelines, principles, and standards, parameters concerning what you will and will not allow. Lines that you will not allow to be crossed. Whatever is needed to protect your family from harm. Continue to listen to God and His Word. For each new set of circumstances, find out which perimeter will be that guard. Your past legacy doesn't matter. This may not have been the way you grew up. And yet God has an unlimited inheritance and legacy for you. And He'll teach you the way through His Holy Spirit. I have been where you young mums are, and I know you don't have time for hours of devotion and hours on your face, but you can fill your home time and your car world with word-based worship music. Let it flood you, and you know it's flooding your children as well. Lisa Bevere says, "You don't have time not to spend time with God." There were days when I, that's Lisa, couldn't steal away for 20 minutes to spend in His presence, but I learned to lean on Him throughout the day. For me, I made my short time in the shower a sacred place. So many times of pouring my heart out to God, so many times of hearing His voice, happened there in my bathroom. It doesn't matter what you do to create the space. You just have to do it. And keep in mind, too, that mercy is new every morning. Number two, this is one I know I struggled with a lot. Don't compare yourself to others. There are times that we feel not enough. I don't think I'm the mom they need. Well, you're the one they've been given. You're the one God chose. Have confidence in this. God doesn't make mistakes. And when you're in doubt, remember, you are His chosen vessel. Not in spite of your cracks, but because of them. That ensures that people won't compliment the vessel. They will only value the oil that's within. Own it. And then you're free to parent as God leads you. God's placed something in you and on you for your children. But you can't get it from the world or TV or well-meaning advisors. You must get it from God. Every day is an opportunity. You are bearing fruit for generations, for your descendants, not for your neighbor's descendants. With God, you are equipped. Moms, don't look at others. You and God have this. Three, be quick to apologize, especially to your children, especially when you dishonor your husband in front of them or dishonor them. Be vulnerable in front of them. Four, discipline. Lisa Bevere says, the goal of discipline is obedience. Right away, all the way, and the right way. The right way meaning having a good attitude and not just sorry. Hard attitude is so important. And isn't this the goal the same as God has for us? This is how we're to react to His discipline. So train your children to accept this themselves. Parenting can be lonely. We say no when they want to hear yes, and they get angry and they reject us when all we're doing is their best. Tough love is not popular. No, you can't go play. Their parents aren't home. Fight through the fear and the condemnation and go to God. And every time you or they make a mistake, learn from it. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself permission to say, I haven't done so bad, and I believe I even can do better. Five, we must teach our children how to get their identity from God and not from the world. It is so important that your children see them as God sees them. Don't depend on others to do it for you. The world calls evil good and good evil, and it's so messed up. Show your children Jesus through grace, unconditional love, tough love, and discipline, and share your faith in Him with them every day. Now to what I deem the most important role of a mother, and one that God has definitely given us a heart for. It undergirds all your hard work, your training, and your love for your children. Our hearts are so full of compassion for our children, and the task seems so big. We should feel drawn to God to pray, pray, pray. We need wisdom from above. They need protection in this fallen world. He cares. He will direct. Philippians 4, 6 to 9 in the Message Bible, very paraphrased, says, do not worry, pray. Firstly, there can be effective prayer and there can be ineffective prayer. I want to remind us today to be aware, on what side of the cross are we praying from? Are we praying based on the effects of the fall or on the effects of Christ's redemptive work on your behalf? We must pray not as those defeated and hopeless, but as those who have the victory and authority. Satan and sin no longer has the authority, but you do through Christ Jesus' name and the Word of God. It's very important to listen to your prayers and make sure they are full of faith and the truth contained in Christ's redemptive work. God showed me an aspect of prayer when my children were young that I carry through to this day and I'm extremely passionate about. It's speaking the word and prophesying over my children and grandchildren. It makes no difference how old they are. It's powerful, and I believe it has great effect. We know how much power negative words can have over our children. Our children are bombarded with them every day. And it is said that it takes 7 positive words to negate 1 negative one. Put together that positive word with the word of God, and we have a power at our disposal that we must use. We are called to prophesy, not what has been, but what will be. We are creating a future with the words we speak over our children. The Bible, my thing closed. The Bible offers examples and proof as parents, our words, good or bad, have authority. They can actually shape the destiny and the futures of our children. In the Old Testament, a parent's blessing was often more a prophecy about their future character and achievements. We see this when Isaac blessed his sons Jacob and Esau in Genesis 27. And again when Jacob blessed his 12 sons in Genesis 49. In both cases, the parental blessing both honored the gifts and talents that were already present in each child and also made a prophetic declaration about what the child's future would hold. I wasn't a practicing Christian when my children were born, but I still believe God had a say in prompted us in what to name our children. I'm so grateful. My eldest son is Tim. His name is Timothy, which means man of God. And I realized that every time I spoke his name, any time anyone else spoke over him, they were prophesying to him. I would take that into my prayer room, no matter what his behavior, no matter how hopeless, no matter what was happening, and I'd say, Timothy, you are a man of God. Timothy, you will be a man of God. My second son is Adam. Now, the meaning of the name doesn't have a lot to put prophecy with. Red earth man, which is prophetic enough in Mombok, isn't it? It also means firstborn. But God gave me a creative way to pray with his name. Adam, the first man. And I would say, Adam, you were created for close relationship with God, and you will be intimate with your Creator. Adam, you were created for close relationship with God. My children walk with God, and they teach their children to do so to this day, and I believe God gets all the credit for that. If your child does not have a name to be used in this way, you can still use the Word of God, and I continually use that as well, depending on the circumstance. Prophesy the good you have already seen present in your child. Is there caring? Is there sharing? Is there a bit of patience? Use that and prophesy that it might grow within them. Prophesy what God has shown you about his plan for your child, even if you've seen no evidence of it. And I want to remind you now that this is not just to be your desires for them. This is if God has shown you something for them. You will lead many in a godly manner. Or you go into the world carrying the gospel to those in need. If you are unaware of any plans, how about asking God? God, what are your plans for my child? And when he tells you, you start speaking it over them. Prophesy strength into areas of weakness. Perhaps turn a prayer into a prophecy. Oh, God, renew her strength. She shall mount up with wings like eagles. She shall run and not be weary. She shall walk and not faint. Prophecy character traits and promises that God has meant for all of us to have. You are a child of God. You have a godly inheritance. You were created to be loved by God, and you will show that love to the world. Your wisdom is from above. Your future is good and sure. and prophesy the scriptures. 2 Timothy 1:7, you do not have a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Psalm 139:14, you were created on purpose, for a purpose, and you will fulfill your purpose. God will give you specific scriptures when you need them. And these are often in times when we are desperate and calling out with a mother's heart. Mostly I pray and speak these things in my prayer time away from their hearing, but there will be times of encouragement when they need to hear you speak over them in this way, to hear with their ears the positive attributes God sees in them and created them for. Lastly, God has given our children to us to teach us and help us to grow. God made us a mom to mold our character and to make us responsible. I heard the moms out there. You know. So don't be too hard on yourself when you make a mistake. You're being trained too. Children teach us self-sacrifice. Oh, that's the hard one, but that's one that's needed. Children teach us unconditional love. Not so hard. Some of that comes naturally, but there are times. We learn perseverance and resilience. We learn unselfishness. Children can also expose wrong attitudes and motives in you. I can remember Tim was about 15, and I told him he couldn't do something. Don't remember what it was now, but I do remember his response. Mom, does it really matter if I do that, or if you just worried about what your friends and the people at the church will think? I thought of it, and I thought, you know, he's right. My motive was wrong in discipline in that stage, and I had to rethink it. I don't remember if he was allowed to do it or not, but he corrected my motive. Through our love for our children, we learn how God loves us. In Proverbs, the Bible says, train up your children in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. You being here today, in the house of God, surrounded by your family and others, is such an amazing example. You're seeking more of Jesus and you're worshiping unashamed. Young men and women are watching, and as they grow, they'll remember and they'll do the same. I want to encourage young moms. You're doing better than you think. We can be really hard on ourselves. I heard a message by Stephen Furtick at one stage, and it was general, but it means it works well for young moms. Sometimes we are harder on ourselves. Sometimes we have to step back and think, is it as bad as I think? You know, in the sports, when there's a dispute of decision on the field, they call for the third umpire. And often you'll hear, upon further review, the ruling on the field is overturned. Send your situation upstairs to an official with a vantage point that you don't have. Upon further review, you're doing better than you think you are. Realize God's grace is more powerful than you thought it was. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So what we saw on the surface is not what is in actuality. Send it upstairs and get your ruling overturned. Mothers of adult children, it's not too late. You have not failed. Pray. The situation may not change overnight, but the way you see your situation will. A fresh boldness to believe the promise can change overnight. I know the things the enemy tries to tell you. I know the ways he tries to discourage you. I know how convincing his lies are and how easy it is to believe. It's too late. What I have is too little. You don't have to feel confident. Confidence is not about what we feel or see. Our confidence is in faith in the promise giver. His promises are children from generation to generation. If you're not a mother, you can be a spiritual mother. Look around, your family, this church, your community. Are there children you can minister to and have an effect in their life? If not, surely there are children you can pray for, prophesy and pray for, you can make a difference in a child's life. Single mums, learn to and don't be afraid to ask for help. God is with you and God sees, but sometimes you just need love with a bit of flesh on it. Mothers, as a church, we honor you. We celebrate you. Because we see the daily commitment, the personal sacrifices, and the relentless love. With profound gratitude and deep appreciation, we applaud you and we thank you. I believe God has big plans for our children and grandchildren. I believe this next generation is positioned to be heroes. They have something unique on them that has not been on this earth before, and it's needed now. We as mothers and grandmothers have a part to play. We are here to advance the kingdom of God, created uniquely to do something magnificent, to instill faith, belief, hope, and trust in God into our children. I just want to read something that I hope the mums will enjoy. I don't know if the dads will, but it's mine. It's from Joyce Meyer's book, The Confident Woman, and a lot of you may have heard this already. Mum and Dad were watching TV when Mum said, "I'm tired, it's getting late. I think I'll go to bed." She went to the kitchen to make sandwiches for the next day's lunches, rinsed out the dessert bowls, took meat out of the freezer for supper for the following evening, checked the cereal box levels, filled the sugar container, put spoons and bowls on the table, and started the coffee pot for brewing the next morning. She then put some wet clothes in the dryer, put a load of clothes into the wash, ironed a shirt, and sewed on a loose button. She picked up the game pieces left on the table and put the telephone book back into the drawer. She watered the plants, emptied a waste basket, and hung up a towel to dry. She yawned and stretched and headed for the bedroom. She stopped by a desk and wrote a note to a teacher, counted out some cash for the school outing, and pulled a textbook out from under the chair. She signed a birthday card for a friend, addressed and stamped the envelope, and wrote a quick list for the supermarket. She put both of those near her purse. Mum then creamed her face, put on moisturizer, brushed and flossed her teeth, and trimmed her nails. Hubby called, "I thought you were going to bed." "I'm on my way," she said. She put some water in the dog's bowl and put the cat outside, then made sure the doors were locked. She looked in on each of the children and turned out the bedside lamp, hung up a shirt, threw some dirty socks in the laundry basket, and had a brief conversation with the one child still up doing homework. In her own room, she set the alarm, laid out the clothing for the next day, and straightened up the shoe rack. She added three things to her list of things to do for the next day. About that time, Hubby turned the TV off and announced to no one in particular, "I'm going to bed." And he did. It's true. May I pray a blessing over you, mums. Mother's Day. God, every mum is unique and beautiful. And my prayer today is that each mother will allow your truth to pour over her, to assure her that she is special and unique and designed by you for a specific purpose. Confirm in her heart that you and she are working together and that she has this. Bless each mother here as they continue to shine the love of God into the places her family needs the most. In Jesus' name, amen. Mums, you and God have got this.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbol Christian Fellowship.com.